Any great questions?
Seemed to me, for the sake of your audience out in cyberland, that it would be good to disambiguate the ideas of faith and pleasure that are coming up in this text. The idea of faith is generally taken to be sort of a single disposition, and with confidence and belief, it really goes into, you know, separate paths, one very erroneous and the other kind of self-maintaining. And likewise with pleasure, one form is intoxicating and distracting, and the other form is self-reinforcing and self-soothing, you call it. And then as a kind of little outrider to that, when Lama Wangdar was teaching the Patrol Rinpoche skillful means, there was a little application that he spoke of warmly and encouraged people to try, which was that when points of view arise, you say pet, and that pops them and turns them into space. But when he, you know, when he presented this, and he was very cheerful about it, you know, please, you know, here's a little thing. I thought, well, you know, Candace probably wouldn't like this approach because it's too antidotal. Instead of letting the phenomena self-liberate, you're kind of taking out a dagger and going like that. It's a little bit too aggressive. I thought, I don't think she'd be very crazy about this one. But I thought I would I thought I would throw that out, and you know, since that is sort of like being able to discriminate between confidence and belief, or the bogus form of description, which you go pet to, and then the energy of space, which is what has brought it here.
Mm-hmm. And that is spelled P-H-A-T.
Yes, pet.
Adam?
I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about conduct. I'm thinking in terms of like, when you're a child and you just have these urges to act silly or do things, you had this welling of energy and you just wanted to express it and do things, and you always got in trouble no matter what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we are always taught to observe our conduct and monitor it and also censor it almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday's teachings talked about in your home just really acting silly and doing bizarre things.
Did you try it?
I did, but I do that a lot anyway.
Yay!
When I was a kid, I would do that a lot too, but I always get in trouble. So it was like, especially like if I'm in my car or something, it doesn't really matter. I can be as stupid as I want. And so, you know, I guess, you know, when you're a child, you're looking for what is the correct way to act. You think there's some way that you have to act to appease everybody and not piss somebody off.
Or when you're an adult.
Right, exactly. That's what defines you now, because the more of this resting practice, the more I feel more like I'm a kid. I'm just having the urge to just be stupid and silly. But when you're an adult, you don't want to look like an idiot.
Unless you don't care. Unless you're beyond what people think about you. Yeah.
So I think that's what I was wanting to talk about. Is there a point where you just go beyond all caring and then however you want to. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Any other questions?
Yesterday when you talked about money, it was a real strong time, and I was looking at kind of what was shared yesterday about how to go after sort of central points of view, and money is certainly one that I've considered central. And I guess I just wasn't, I have some ideas that where I'm supposed to end up with money in a certain state of freedom of concern, and actually I'd be real welcoming of that, but what I'd like to know more about is just how to rest. I guess you've already told us, but somehow something about money still seems different than some other like afflictive kind of points of view in some way. I've been examining it this morning talking to folks. Just it has a lot more concepts hooked up to it somehow, and it's not the same resting with it somehow. I'm not sure I could formulate a great question on it, but if it weaves into this talk today, anything on money that's around trust and how that develops and
Somewhat pervasive in human culture today is the notion that somehow human beings are flawed, are inherently flawed. And some of the major doctrines that support these ideas are the idea of sin and also the idea of karma. And so these ideas, even though there may be many people who, if polled, would say, oh no, I don't believe in sin or I don't believe in karma, these two ideas are so threaded through every single institution of societies around the world that they are really inescapable in terms of the way we think about ourselves. And so what we're taught from a very early age is to have faith in ourselves as being flawed and to constantly be on guard, looking for this one who is flawed and what the indications are of their flaw or flaws. And so when we live in this way, we just are totally confused and have no idea what's going on and completely overwhelmed with an idea of suffering, a perception of suffering and of censorship. So all the time we're censoring all our thoughts, all our emotions, all our sensations, and all our experiences. So we're taught to have faith in this, in that we as individual human beings have free will to overcome this inherently flawed nature and become good people by doing so. And yet if we examine the way humankind is today and we look at people in general, we see that this particular path has never led anywhere. It hasn't really led to human beings becoming good people. And so, you know, in order for it to be a law about human beings, it would have to be evidenced by good somehow overcoming bad. This is what the law states, that somehow good can overcome bad. But when we look at humankind, we can see that this isn't the case. That in our culture, we teeter on the brink of disaster, either through nuclear weapons or ecological disaster or biological warfare or something outside the scope of human activity, like some kind of cosmic cataclysmic event. When we demystify what it means to be human, then we can have faith in what a human being is. But first we have to demystify what it means to be human. And the only way we can demystify or disambiguate that is to be clear on what our own experience of being human is, and to leave aside all the descriptions we've heard from everybody else, read, and been telling to ourselves for years and years and years. When we gain confidence in our actual experience as a human being, then we don't need to rely on all the descriptions, whatever they might be. The ideas about the human being as being flawed affect every part of what a human being is. So when the human being is talked about as body and mind, then the sensations of the body are seen as flawed and something to be guarded against, or seen as signs or evidence of something. And so are the workings of the mind. So all the thoughts going on in the mind are also seen to be something that needs to be guarded against, that the negative states, the disturbing states need to be guarded against, and that the thoughts altogether are what comprise the mind. Now, this couldn't be further from the actual experience of being human. So all these descriptions about what the mind is and what the body is are very far from the actual experience of being a human. When we really look at our own nature and we look at our own mind, and our mind is really an abstraction, what we can really count on about ourselves and our own experience is the fact that we're aware. We have awareness. And it's by that awareness that we know everything we know about ourselves. So if we say, I'm a human being, it requires awareness to know that. If we say, I am intelligent, it requires awareness to know that. If we say, I have a mind, it requires awareness to know that. If we say, I have a body, it requires awareness to know that. In the simple way, we can see that it's awareness that is the root of all knowing or all experience. And when we want to know about ourselves, then we have to gain confidence in that which is most evident about us. So the actual sign, demonstration, and evidence of our humanness is only awareness. Without awareness, we would have no evidence of our humanness. However, most of us have never been taught anything about this. Instead, we've been taught to focus on the points of view that appear within awareness, to focus on the body, to focus on the mind, to focus on being a human being, to focus on the thoughts. And when we focus on all of these without knowing their root, which is awareness, they would not be known without awareness, then we only have a partial understanding of ourselves that's based on description, and no understanding of ourselves based on experience. To know what awareness is as simple as not thinking. Just for an instant, not being distracted by all the thoughts that are appearing within awareness, is to know what awareness is. So if there are a lot of thoughts going on, just stop for an instant. That's what awareness is. And awareness is the unconcepted power of all concepts, of all points of view. So the unconcepted power of awareness is present as the fullness of every single point of view. When we gain confidence in awareness by not being compulsively distracted by thinking, by the points of view that appear within awareness, then we gain confidence in the ground of all the thinking, of all the points of view. We come to know that. We haven't been familiar with it only because we've been ignoring it. We didn't know it was there, so we ignored it. We didn't know that it had anything to offer, so we ignored it. We might say, oh, I'm aware of that tree over there, I'm aware of this, or I'm aware of that, but we had no idea what we were saying. It was just a bunch of words. It was a description about experience rather than the experience of being human. When we develop faith in all the descriptions, then we have a misguided faith. When we gain confidence in awareness, then we have pure faith. We have pure faith in that which is countable. We can always count on it, in other words. No matter what's happening, we can count on it. Whether we're depressed, whether we're happy, whether we're sick, whether we're well, whether we're being born, living, or dying, awareness is always present and unchanging. When we gain confidence in that, then we gain confidence in the pure pleasure of what it means to be a human being. Until then, we'll just have totally misguided ideas about both faith and pleasure. We'll probably think faith means to have faith in something outside ourselves. And we'll think that pleasure has something to do with momentary flashes of bodily well-being and sensations that feel good. We won't know that pleasure, pure pleasure, is the basis of all experience, no matter what it is, whether it's positive, whether it's negative, or whether it's neutral. So this is very important. We've completely mystified ourselves as human beings as to our nature. Now, what goes right along with this is the idea of not feeling that we're capable of much. If we think we're flawed and that this flaw is due to something over which we have no control, in other words, original sin or some type of all-pervasive sin in human beings or karma, then we feel powerless. We feel like we're victims of some kind of law that rules over us. And when we see ourselves in that way, then we see ourselves as very limited and unable to act in our own behalf or on behalf of others. We never learn that our nature is beneficial. Awareness is entirely beneficial, and since awareness is required for any experience of being human, being human is entirely beneficial. When we gain confidence in awareness by just resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic, then we get attuned to this beneficial nature that's already present. And as we become more attuned to that, we enter into a very exciting new realm of being human. It's always been with us, but we didn't know it because we were too busy paying attention to all the points of view, all the thoughts, trying to censor emotions, trying to censor sensations, trying to censor experiences. When we live in such a way, then we shrivel up our energy into lack of well-being. It's as simple as that. Now, there are many misguided notions too about gaining confidence and awareness. Some people think that the actual experience of awareness and having that present all the time is what it means to realize awareness, that the soothing energy, the bliss, the joy, the love, the confidence, that all of these are what the realization of awareness is. That is what enlightenment is, for example, or awakening is, or what it means to be truly human. So many, many people are misguided by this notion that that's what the realization of awareness is. But that is not the realization of awareness. The realization of awareness is the realization of benefit. And do not be mistaken about that. You see, all those other things I just mentioned are experiences. That's all they are. They're points of view. They might be more sublime points of view than the censorship points of view we've had going on. However, it's only in benefit that all of these are united together in an uncontrived way and completely present at all times, day and night. And in order for that to come about, it requires that we enter into an area of living that we've been carefully guarding against. So first of all, we've been carefully guarding against our disturbing states, whether they're thoughts, emotions, sensations, or experiences. We've been carefully guarding against those, not only within ourselves, but in our relationships with other people. We don't want to look like a fool to ourselves, and we don't want to look like a fool to anyone else. We want to think well of ourselves, and we want others to think well of us. And this is what motivates us, rather than benefit being the motive or the motivation for living. Now, when we begin to gain confidence and awareness, it requires that we be introduced to awareness. So first of all, we have to know what awareness is. And once we know what awareness is, if we have the honor and privilege of having some guidance from someone who has taken awareness all the way to the point of benefit, then it's like stepping on a rocket ship and jettisoning into space, and there is no turning back. Mm-hmm. There is no turning back. There is no way to ever turn back from awareness once there's the introduction and there's a little bit of confidence gained in that. There's nowhere else to go after that. There's absolutely nowhere else to go. All seeking has ended. It is over. It's completely over, and that is totally clear. There is no seeking whatsoever any longer. One passes beyond, transcends, and is free of the search. The search to be a good human, the search to figure out what being human is, the search to find the meaning of life. All of a sudden, one is completely free of these things. So this is what it means to be on this rocket ship. There's no turning back, and this rocket ship goes forever. It has infinite fuel. And once we're on that rocket ship, it means we're on it because we're prepared to handle it. So we would not be on this rocket ship unless we were prepared to be on it. The introduction to awareness, having a teacher, a community, and a teaching is what gives us the power to be on that rocket ship and survive what's coming up. Because most of us have no experience with the seamlessness of awareness. So we really don't get it at first that all our disturbing states, whether they're thoughts, emotions, sensations, or experiences, we like the sounds of it, but we don't really get it in our own experience that all of these are just pure awareness. They're the pure intelligence of the natural order of everything, macrocosmic and microcosmic. We just don't get that at first because we've trained ourselves to believe that they're bad, wrong, and need to be changed. So when we hear that nothing needs to be changed, we love that idea. It sounds so good because we've been trying to change obsessively and compulsively for years, even though it's gotten us nowhere. And even if it's gotten us to the point of cultivating more positive states, whether they be mental, emotional, or otherwise experiential, we still are always seeking. We're constantly seeking for even more of these positive states. So we haven't given up the search. We're still looking for the meaning of life, and we're still looking for this mysterious good person who's in there somewhere, but we've never found them. And we're beginning to wonder if they exist at all. And the disturbing emotions, these afflictive states of the body that are sometimes emotion, sometimes sensation, sometimes thoughts, all of these, no matter what they are, in order to really gain confidence in the seamlessness and purity of awareness, it requires that we rest as those states when they appear. And what that means is that we rest without being distracted by the state. And if we use any other kind of technique or method, that it's within the context of rest. So if we try a technique other than just pure rest, like letting the emotion or the thought or whatever it is just run its course, like watching what it does if we just let it have its way. In other words, we don't exercise any censorship over it. We just prolong it, pursue it, allow it to run its course, and just see what it does within the context of awareness. Then that's not being distracted by it. That's examining its nature to see what it does, to see that it runs its course, and then it just resolves in that awareness that is its only root or nature. And so there are techniques that really work. And in this day and age, it is crucial to demystify these techniques so that they are understandable by everyone. If we use terms that only belong to one language of all the many languages of human culture, then there will be only a very limited number of people who can understand that. But if we, for example, have a disturbing state or any kind of state and we say yes instead of some kind of term no one understands or very few understand, that the point of that is to startle ourselves into awareness. That's the point of that. And I've talked to this person that you mentioned about this very topic. So, you know, the and he is in total and complete agreement that this is the time for something all-encompassing. Even though he practices one certain tradition, he believes that the Great Freedom Teaching is the carrying of that tradition to everyone, everywhere. And so when we talk about the actual experience of being human, what we're really talking about is the ultimate experience any human being has ever had of being human. And that this is not only an ultimate experience of humanness that's existing right now, right here in contemporary culture, but also that this has been the ultimate experience of being human throughout all of time. So you see, we're not relying on ever-changing descriptions of what it means to be human. We're relying on the ultimate experience of what it means to be human as it has been demonstrated throughout all of human time. Isn't that something? You know, that is really, really something. And how do we know that it's the ultimate experience of being human? Because human beings who demonstrate this can do things no other human beings can do. And so, this is very powerful evidence. We see exhibited in some people the ability to live and be in a way that is completely free of all mental and emotional machinations, and also all ideas about the body and everything else, who are able to accomplish incredible feats and demonstrate those feats in a way that they're evident to many people. Feats of great benefit to many human beings. And then many other feats as well that just aren't even comprehensible to most people. So when we see that there are certain people who demonstrate these qualities and that this has been threaded throughout all of human existence, what we can say is not only this is the ultimate experience of being human, but also because it is a human experience, it is a human experience. It's the same experience for everyone if they're willing to gain confidence in that. A person who gains confidence in awareness as the basis of all human experience is the one who is able to exhibit these powers that are so ultimately beneficial to many, many people. Now, when we take that stance of gaining confidence and awareness, what we're saying is, I'm going to gain confidence in awareness, and I'm no longer going to have confidence in descriptions. Now, that's very powerful. And, you know, also, we're taking the simplest course life can take. So if we want a path on which to live our life, this is the simple path. It's straight, it's flat, it's even, it doesn't require any exertion. It's an effortless path. And all we do is say, I'm going to gain confidence in awareness and commit myself 100% to that, and I'm no longer going to have confidence in all the descriptions. I'm going to gain confidence in the ultimate experience of being human as it has existed for people throughout all of time. And I'm going to rely on the same advice that they gave themselves and their teachers gave them throughout all of time. I'm going to rely on exactly that advice about the ultimate experience of being human. And by doing so, then I can attain what these other human beings attained. That's all there is to it. So, you know, this is a total demystification of the pomp and circumstance of of being human that has gone so out of control that it's preposterous, really. It's really preposterous. So not only do we have all these pretenses within ourselves, but then a lot of the times when we're seekers, we end up in totally pretentious situations that can't really teach us anything. And all they do is prolong the agony of suffering, of the perception of suffering, and trying to make ourselves into somebody good. Now, when we gain confidence and awareness rather than in descriptions, then implicit in that is that we're going to get to a point where it is crucial that we no longer care what people think about us. So, you know, this is just part of it. Because when we rest as awareness, we start to no longer care about what we think about ourselves. So, you know, all our thoughts about ourselves, our emotions, this, that, and the other thing. We're gaining confidence and awareness. We're not gaining confidence any longer in all these descriptions we have running about who we think we are. And then so we gain familiarity with that, and that gives us a lot of strength and indwelling confidence. And then based on that strength and indwelling confidence and insight that comes about from that, and also great equanimity that comes about from that, then we're able to rest more easily with what other people think about us. Because, you know, we'll live all of our life, and if we care about what other people think about us and try to cater to that all the time, then that'll be a very small group of people who will like us and go along with us. So, you know, maybe 2% of people we know will like us no matter what we do, 2% will hate us no matter what we do, and the rest really don't care. So you see, when we gain confidence and awareness, then we gain confidence in that which can withstand everything. It can withstand everything. And we stay rock solid in the basis of what it means to be human, rather than being totally distracted by all these descriptions, whether it's our own descriptions about ourselves or other people's descriptions about ourselves. So, you know, in order to do that, we need to be able to make a fool of ourselves to ourselves. So all these things we've been trying not to do, the censoring, the negative thoughts, just let them go. See what happens. Or the negative thinking, just let it rip. See what happens. The obsession about the body, prolong a series of thoughts about that. It'll always vanish. I can say this to anyone, because it's impossible to hold on to it. You can't do it. You can't do it. So it's a total comfort zone or safety zone. But again, just like it said in the written teaching yesterday, it said, take up these practices with the guidance of a teacher. Why does it say that? Because if you prolong a thought, for example, and you're off on your own, and then you think that that thought is telling you to act in some way, then you're probably way off course, you know. So if you have a teacher, then the teacher can really support you. Now, it's been very hard up to the present to find accessible teachers who have taken it all the way. There are teachers who have taken it all the way, but most of those teachers are not accessible. So now, today, for the first time, there are accessible teachers. And that's great. However, it requires that people be teachable. So you see, in order for a teacher to serve and support someone, then a person has to be 100% willing to rely on their guidance. And you know, that guidance is, it's an ultimate friendship. It's really an ultimate friendship. Now, I always say, you know, come to me and I will make suggestions to you about what I see. And then some people do come to me, some people don't. And so people come to me and I suggest what I see and where it would be good to rest. And many of the people, after I make a suggestion, go out and do exactly what they want to do anyway. What do you say? You know, at some point, you just have to be willing to stop the shenanigans. if you really want to gain confidence and awareness, it's important to rely on the guidance of the teacher and the teaching and the community as all as part of the practice of resting as awareness. In this way, you can demystify your idea about yourself to the degree that you don't really have any kind of response one way or another to what people think about you. If people adore you and are always showering adoration, affection, and praise on you, great. If people are showering criticism, writing you hate letters, and think you're an awful person, great. Now, you know, very few of us can say this, that we have equanimity in both situations. But you see, all of this comes about not through some trick of the mind or some other technique. It comes about through gaining confidence and awareness. That's the only way it can come about. It's absolutely the only way it can come about. Now, most of the people here in this group are teachers, are Great Freedom teachers, and a teacher of awareness is in all kinds of situations, and in those situations there are all kinds of people. Some people like you, other people don't like you. That's just the way it is. And it's really important to rely on the essence of what you are rather than what all these people think about you. Otherwise, you won't be able to teach. It'll be impossible. The only way that can come about is trusting in awareness. When we gain confidence in awareness to the point of benefit, then what that means is that we no longer need to be entertained or preoccupied with all kinds of things that we've been using to support our well-being. So say we've loved to go to the movies all the time, and whenever we're depressed, what we do is go to a movie. Or this really makes us feel better, makes us feel good. Or we flip on the television set, or go on the internet, or go have a beer, or a joint, or, you know, whatever it is. We give up the preoccupation with these things in a totally natural way. In other words, it just slips away without us doing anything. We're no longer seeking well-being in relationships and ordinary distractions of human living, places that we as human beings look for our well-being but never find it. When we rely on awareness for our well-being, then we're free of the need for all of these preoccupations and entertainment. Even though we may still enjoy them, doesn't mean that we're renouncing them or saying that we're not going to do that anymore. It means we're just free of the need for them. We're not feeling compulsively drawn to act in a lot of different ways, antidotal ways to different states of mind we have. Really, my heartfelt advice to everyone is to just gain confidence in this experience of what it means to be human. What it really means to be human. This is the only way that we as humankind can come together beyond all our individual ideologies. If we rely on the experience of being human that no one can deny, in other words, awareness, that we're aware of being human. Every human being has that experience. When we rely on that experience, we rely on the basis of all knowledge. Awareness is the basis of all knowledge. It's the pure intelligence that is inherent in all knowledge. And when we rely on that and gain complete confidence in that, then who knows what we'll know as a human culture? Who knows what we'll know from the vantage of benefit? When we're no longer bound to all the points of view and all the conventional descriptions about everything, we're soaring like an eagle in the sky, then we can see everything. We can see where all the different roads lead. We can see how everything's laid out. And we have mastery over all knowledge about human life. So isn't it better to make human decisions from this expanse of benefit than from all these ideologies that have people bogged down in separation from each other, in division? I think so. Yeah, I really know so. So, you know, you don't have to try to be beneficial. Some people are naturally beneficial. They want to be beneficial. That's great. But if that isn't for you and you've never had a moment in your life of wanting to be a benefit, or you're just getting used to the idea, just keep gaining confidence and awareness. And as you do, you'll find your life more and more beneficial. And you'll naturally want to be a benefit to people. You'll no longer be collapsed in on the idea of a self who's micromanaging all other states. When you resign from being a micromanager of all your states, then, wow, you're really enjoying life in perpetual retirement. Because being a micromanager is very hard work. It's so limiting. It's really very limiting. We take all of our energy and throw it into micromanaging. And when we're micromanaging ourselves, we can't help but micromanage other people's states too. If we think we need to change, then we think everyone needs to change. We as human beings need to become familiar with our spontaneously beneficial nature. And we know that it's spontaneously beneficial, and that should be the focus, the benefit of it, when we rest as awareness, we have complete relief from things that bothered us before. So this is the first sign that awareness is very, very powerful and is an ultimate refuge and an ultimate resource in our life. When in our own experience we see demonstrated the reality that what once troubled us and we could find no relief from, now we have relief from that. That's how we see that awareness is beneficial. And the more we gain confidence in awareness, the more this beneficial nature of awareness becomes obvious, and the more it's demonstrated in all of our activities. Nowadays, there are all kinds of definitions of awareness and what it means to realize awareness, and I've seen the evidence of these ideas in many people. But I'll tell you, when someone says that they've realized awareness and then they're not demonstrating beneficial activities in their life, then they haven't realized awareness. They might have realized some kind of anomaly of point of view, some kind of a state that they've never been in before. But unless there is the sign and evidence of benefit, then there isn't any realization of awareness. And the sign and evidence of benefit doesn't look any particular way. So it doesn't mean that they're always a nice person, or they might not always appear to be kind to people. Like one person that who was an extremely great being, the one you just mentioned, who gave the commentary on Gerb Dorje's three essential instructions. He was grumpy his entire life. But yet he was one of the greatest masters of awareness who ever lived. And he also said, I've been plagued by disturbing states all my life. So you see, a lot of times when people see written things like awareness is free of movement, through their filters of point of view, they think that means that awareness is a non-conceptual state in which there are no thoughts. But that's not what it means. It means awareness free of movement is present as all thoughts, as all that seems to move. That's what it means. And so through point of view filters, many people have misinterpreted these teachings so that now there's so much confusion that it really needs to be corrected and set straight. It really, really does. Or when it's written that there's freedom from all tendencies or all emotions, disturbing emotions or whatever it is. Through point of view filters, people believe that these are completely absent, that they go away forever. Yet, that's not what it means at all. It means that the freedom from them is in the unrejection of them, and that their entire essence, their self-appearing essence, is the appearance of complete purity, radiance, and freedom. So we can see how it's possible to become misguided, but we don't need to be misguided. We can be clear on what awareness is with proper instruction. When we're children and our parents think we're naughty, and they're trying to get us to stop our ebullient expressions of effervescing joy, we decide that there's something wrong with that, and so we kind of shut down and do a little square, and we're inside a little box of who we think our parents want us to be and who we're supposed to be. And it's not just the parents, but the caregivers too. But you see, this requires that we agree. So we're never a victim. We have to agree. We have to agree to go sit in the little square all our lives. When someone says, you go sit in that little box, then you have a choice to either go in the box or not. When you go in the box, well, it's you who went in there. There's nobody in there with you. And so what does that mean? It means you're the only one who can get you out of the box. No one's a victim. And these days of blaming parents, institutions, governments, whatever, for all our problems, this is very important. to rest is this idea of being a victim and give up your right to be a victim of your own perceptions, because that's all you're ever a victim of. If you feel yourself to be a victim, you're just a victim of your own thoughts about these things. That's it. And awareness is complete governance over all perceptions. It's the ruler. It's the all-encompassing, all-pervasive, forever ruler of all perceptions, of all points of view that appear within it. And so that's the only stance in which one is no longer a victim. If we drift off into any kind of point of view whatsoever that we want to hold on to, then we just have at least a little thread attached to our victimhood. If we gain confidence solely in awareness, then we abide as that ultimate benefit of governance over all. Governance over absolutely everything. And then we can be free to act with ebullient joy if we want to. We can be free to effervesce all over the place. If everybody else is complaining about the weather and all these ordinary preoccupations of everyday living, or complaining about their partner or their job or the government or all the other complaints, whatever they might be, then we're just free of all that. We're just effervescing all over the place. And we, you know, they can be talking right to us, looking us right in the eye with their trip, whatever it is, but it doesn't affect us in any way. And at the same time, we feel incredible love and compassion for them, yet without any compulsion to try to hammer them over the head with the sledgehammer of awareness. So we don't need to try to change them and get them into awareness. We know that they are who they are. If they want to know about awareness, they'll give us some indication. Maybe they'll be complaining and they'll say, well, you know, why don't you ever complain, or something like that. Or, yeah, they might. You never know. But a lot of people say to me, wow, you're always happy. Every day of the year you come in here and you're always completely happy and uplifted. But almost no one has ever said, how did that happen? They think it's a genetic flaw or something. To wander around life totally carefree and filled with incredible joy, filled with incredible bliss, filled with happiness, filled with liking everyone, you know, filled with warmth and friendliness, and to just be moved in an entirely beneficial way, such as I just described, where there is actually this warmth and friendliness towards everyone, is the ultimate experience of being human. And in that is within that is a profound display of incredible skill and insight that contributes great benefit, not only to oneself, but to everyone else.